Mark Zielinski, and I have Mo Gaddafi here with me. How you doing?
Hey, everyone. This is Gaddafi, the general, so we're glad to be on here.
Absolutely. All right. The inaugural, well, not the inaugural, Mup Short. Clem and Chris kind of did that from Warhammer World, but we're carrying on the tradition.
This is Ronnie Renton, and you are listening to the Mantic Universe podcast.
I know about this.
Absolutely. So we're coming at you. There's been a lot of stuff going on in the world of Kings of War and podcasts and things like that. And Gad and I had a few things to say, I think. So why don't we first go with Shadowed Horizons, so, which just wrapped up, actually.
Yes, it just did. It was, I think we have lots of thoughts on that coming up. I think that the idea was pretty good, having good and evil and have the story played out. And every week there would be a different scenario, and each side would be able to vote on certain decisions that affect the campaign. So, yeah.
Right. So the big question, you know, is it looks like it was overall a good victory. And so this kind of tastes a little bit like Edge of the Abyss, where the Free Dwarves, despite kicking butt in their region, still got thrown out of their land, which, of course, set up the next campaign and a box set and things like that. But I think something similar happened this time around. I think good did really, really well, and, you know, it doesn't seem like it. So what's your take, Ed?
Yeah, I think it's a bit anti-climatic in a way. Good one, but that's something that we have probably discussed before, the what's good, what's evil, because I think a lot of the factions are neutral in the game. I think a lot of the data for the campaign was pulled out from the Clash of Kings UK. Like, they used the games for that, and they were more neutral and good armies over there, so maybe good would have got the edge at first. So that's something to talk about. I mean, even the cool thing about the campaign is, even if you're playing an evil army or a good army, you could choose to go by, you could choose either side. Yeah, so I think that's quite cool. And there was also the Armada component. You can't forget about that. Like, there were battles on land and sea. Yeah, so it's, I mean, I'm still waiting for something from Mantic, like what actually happened, what's the conclusion? Was there anything released by them?
Yeah, I think that a conclusion did come out. You know, Fanatics, of course, was Fanatics and had some opinions on the whole thing. So, but, and Mantic actually did respond to it too, you know, thanking for the feedback and things like that. So, but, you know, still had the same flavor, was kind of the overall, you know, from what I got, at least from the one post. But it's kind of the way I felt. You know, the guy who posted kind of, you know, wrapped it up and summarized it, you know, very well for me, you know, and he compared it to the Edge of the Abyss campaign too. And, you know, where the Free Dwarves ended up going, it kind of seemed like it was pre-scripted a little bit. So, you know, I know good did really well in the very first stage. And then it was very, very close in the other two. But yeah, it's just kind of, you know, I know that there isn't a huge army there and stuff like that, but I guess it would be boring if good completely wiped out the Twilight Kin and then they weren't at all up in the north, you know, they just got wiped out, and that'd be kind of like a hollow victory to a certain extent. But, you know, they did reduce the Void Cages quite a bit, beat up the Abyssal Dwarf fleet. And, you know, there's a small toehold, I guess, with the Twilight Kin up north. So, but Chill still stands, you know, and things like that. So,
hey there, I'm Brian.
And I'm Rick.
From Dead Zone, the podcast.
And you're listening to Mantic Universe Podcast.
For everything Mantic under the sun.
Yeah, definitely. I probably missed out the post on the Mantic website. So yeah, lots of good wins. I think Act 1, the prologue, it was won by Evil. Act 1 was good. Act 2 was Evil. Act 3 was good. So it's more good winning than evil. I think, yeah, because Ronnie kept telling us about the repercussions and how the games will actually shape Benetton. So I'm not sure how. I think basically it says that the Night Stalker Horde is not united with the Twilight King invading force. So they are not together. I'm not so sure.
Well, maybe we can. Maybe what we can do is have Chris send a, or have Chris include the link, I should say, in the show notes, and then people can go read the end of it. And
definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, I'm really glad they had it. Was I able to play some games? Yes, I was at Clash of Kings. So, you know, when I got home, I had to catch up from being away at Clash of Kings, so I didn't really have much time to do that. But I think it's a great idea. I love International Campaign Day. I love these campaigns and things like that. So I guess, you know, you just want the ending to feel like it felt, you know, with the victories and things like that. So I don't know. Do you know, Gan, at all whether or not they have like a tree campaign behind it? You know, like if there's certain percentages or a, you know, low, medium, or strong win, it follows to that result. And then, you know, depending on that, it goes to the next result. So, you know, I don't know what's behind it.
This is the only podcast with the balls to do all the games.
I think that's also a mystery. I think what it says in the post is there will be an update to the campaign website with the actual results and content. So I think once we have that, then we can have like a, you know, a conclusion and actually what happened and where the story is. So I think that's interesting. I think something to point out that interesting is the 1,175 Kings of War games played for and reported for the campaign. I think locally we had quite a number of games played. I mean, a lot of them were just playing for the sake of playing. They didn't really, you know, play with the intention of the campaign, even though they are aware of the campaign. So what I actually helped them to do actually was to actually report the results, depending on who won and who lost. So probably we got about 15-20 games locally input for the campaign after I came back from Clash. So that's a good sign.
Absolutely, so, absolutely. So I was surprised to see the number of ambush games was not that large. So they seem to all be mostly above ambush level.
This is Rob Fanuff from the Counter Charge Podcast, and you're listening to the Mantic Universe Podcast, the only podcast that has the balls to cover all their games.
Yeah, it's good to see that there were some Siege games and Legendary games. I think these two types of games are not that common. I think most people are just playing vanilla Kings of War. I think that's actually another... That's a good topic for another episode, I would suppose. You know, Siege and Legendary games. I think those games are really fun. They can really be very fun for narrative games and just casual games. I think Thomas and Clem did mention that what they probably want to have a narrative weekend, so they'll be probably playing this kind of mode of games. Yeah. And not many Armada games reported as well. I think just 73. So I think Armada is still growing. It's still new. So I think with the Vault, the Mantic have said that there's been a large take up in Armada. So hopefully things will get better for that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm hoping that the campaign goes well on my mini factory and they get some people buying into Armada over there. It seems like they got a few. It's going a little slower than I thought it would, actually. You know, I'm not buying in only because I already have everything through the vault, so there's really no need to. So,
okay, yeah, I think the vault is quite interesting. It's been doing quite well. I think I'm not sure how they can keep up the amount of content that they're putting up, but we'll see. It's been 6 months, so yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So this month is particularly good, in my opinion. So if you've been with them for 6 months, you ended up with a Hellfane, as a bonus.
Yes.
And then there's a bunch of Abyssal Dwarf stuff in this month's pack, yes, too, so, which is just fantastic. So
definitely. It ties up with the upcoming two-player starter set, the Twilight King and Abyssal Dwarfs. So if you pick one up, you could actually flesh out your force with some Abyssal Grotesque and a Charnox and a Hexcaster. All great models.
Oh, right. Absolutely. So I actually have that starter set coming, so I'm very happy. I have a first edition Abyssal Dwarf army, so my goal is to work on a second edition one. So or third edition, or 3.5, whichever one we're in. But a more up-to-date one, so it'll all match up pretty well. But, yeah, it's a really good. The Vault's hitting it out of the park. So, and, yeah, it's a really surprising what they're going to be putting out next. So, did you see that we're going to get a Vault-exclusive Twilight Kin Assassin?
Yes, I think Carl did show off the render in his video.
Yep.
One of his preview videos. It looks fantastic. It's a female assassin, which is really cool. I think she has like a nice cloak with skulls, and it's just an awesome model. It's coming up in November. I think I asked Carl on the stream, on one of the streams yesterday, so it should be coming out in November, along with some alternate parts for Dreadfiend or Nightmare. So basically, you could actually modify the Mikael model, which is fantastic, to actually make it a more generic Dreadfiend or Nightmare. So that's pretty cool. It'll be interesting to see how you can print out the alternate parts, maybe for the head and for the weapons, and see how you can actually swap it because it's resin. So resin is a bit trickier than plastic to do a swapping and alternate parts. But I think it'd be cool to see. I'm looking forward to November. November will be quite big for the Vault.
Absolutely. Well, that Twilight Kin stuff's going to be shipping, October 18th? I think the pre-orders start shipping, so.
Yes.
Yeah, it should be exciting.
Less than 2 weeks away. And also, they also released the Twilight Kin fleet on the Vault.
Oh, that was this month back. Yeah.
Yes.
Which is really cool. So I love the look of the Twilight Kin fleet. It's really cool. I mean, I love how people paint them up with the purple sails and everything. It just looks really good. So, but I understand it's a close combat army. More so, you want to do boarding actions as opposed to shooting. So, which is the complete opposite of my play style, but.
Yeah, it's a strong army. It's quite unique. There are no XL ships. The Butcher is the biggest ship, L ship. I played it a couple of times. Yeah, you're right. It's a close combat army. They do have stealth, so they're harder to shoot at. They want to get up close and use their close combat weapons. So yeah, it's a different kind of playstyle. I think it's the opposite of the elves, which want to stay far away and shoot you. So that's a quite interesting dynamic there.
Oh, absolutely. I'll have to look into an elf fleet. Yes, I'm a shooter. So, yeah, it should be interesting to see how I take a look at that. So, but, yeah, it was very nice of them, again, to just mix in the Armada. I mean, there were, 73 games played? So, but, you know, I mean, hey, it's better than none. So it's pretty good.
Yeah, I think one short point about Armada, it's a bit confusing for players, especially when there are two expansion books, Seas of Flame and the other one, also with Seas.
Yeah, Seas of Dread.
Seas of Dread. So there are lots of Seas, and like, you know, the rules are a bit disparate. I mean, we have the Companion, so that helps. But it's, you know, for a new player, you know, do I need to buy all three books to get in the game? Maybe if there was a book that consolidated everything, that would be useful. So maybe that's something for Magic to do in future.
Uh-oh, gave Ronnie an idea. He needs a big red book for Armada now.
Yeah, which would make sense. You know, you'd want to refer to three books for upgrades and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I would love to see that, so... All right, so you got anything else to mention here? And because we're going to keep this one as a mup short, and we will certainly be back at you folks with some more commentary and discussion here as we go along. But any parting words, Gad?
Not much. I think this October is gonna be a very fun month with the Twilight King release. And yes, there are a lot of first takes that, you know, people do tend to go overboard. You know, some people say it's underwhelming. Some people say the rules are too good, power creep. So just take it with a grain of salt. Try to actually play some games before, you know, you pass judgment. But I think it's going to be a good release for Twilight King, and we are pretty excited over here. And also, I mean, last thing, we don't have an exact definite date for Clash of Kings 2024, the book, the update. So hopefully it's soon, because we don't want to have Twilight King get all the new shiny toys and everyone else still waiting for their new stuff, right? New updates in Clash of Kings.
Well, I did hear what Countercharge did a live stream, and I believe Jeremy or Felix mentioned that, you know, Twilight Kin is built with cock, you know, 2023 in mind. So as opposed to it running roughshod over the world here, you know, and I guess the army list is also in that book. So
definitely.
Yeah. So you'd like to see it all at one time. So that's one interesting thing before we run, is just, you know, the change in the release pattern for Mantic. You know, it used to be once a year you got the cockbook, all the adjustments were made, and you didn't have to keep up with changes and stuff like that during the year. Now, you know, we got the, Night Stalkers and the Northern Alliance release in the middle, and they changed the armies, and then they got it updated. Now the Twilight Kin, it's like, you know, so, you know, where do you fall? Do you like them once a year, or do you like the more GW-style release? So even though you don't have to buy new army books and stuff like that, but do you like them dribbled out during the year, or you like them in one shot?
I like this new release pattern. I mean, it's good for sales. You know, when there's new rules, new models, people will tend to gravitate to it. I mean, it's tough to release. I think from Mantic's point of view, it's difficult to release models without something new. So as like new rules to, you know, to entice people to get them. And I think armies need a refresh. So I think it's a good way to refresh armies. But I think that it could have been done better. Like, for example, for Northern Alliance and Night Stalkers, they mentioned that there would be a errata or like a document and getting all the changes. Like, you don't have to subscribe to the companion to see the changes and new rules. So that was mentioned in the blog, but it's not out there yet. So, I mean, people have been complaining they need to subscribe to see the rules. So that's something, I mean, because people want to see the full rules before they buy, even though they can just subscribe to the companion. So I think if they clean up the release, they have more detailed previews, maybe have a short PDF that people can download about the new rules, that will help. I think it helps sales at the end of the day. Because you don't want people to be left behind. Like, I mean, just like recently, like last month, we had a player in our region playing Northern Alliance with the old rules. He wasn't aware that there were new rules for them. And he was asking me, what does IC runes do and stuff like that. You know, I had to explain to him. I had to link him to like a blog post, which is not the best source of rules, I would say.
Right. So just things like that. Yeah, can people build two army lists? So does it stop you after you've built two? Or can you keep going? I bought it, so I have no idea. So
you can build as two army lists. So basically what people without the subscription do, they build the list, they download the PDF, then they delete the list and build another list. The only issue is they won't be able to see the keywords, like what are the rules. Like they can see the rules in the army list, but they can't see what the rules do.
Got it. So you get a taste. It's not a fully functional type of army list, similar to what you get when you subscribe, right?
Yes, it's not the same. I mean, it says that the rules are available with a subscription, so you don't get to see what Tundra Fighters or IC runes or, you know, stuff like that do. So it is a bit... I mean, obviously, Mantic is—it's a company. They need paying customers to survive. But maybe if you have like a PDF at the release, that would help. I mean, it's going to be a companion anyway, so might as well give them like the rules somehow. So yeah, that's my take on that.
Oh, there you go. Well, I'll be the old fuddy-duddy and say I like them once a year. I understand it definitely helps sales, and it's kind of interesting, but all the problems you just mentioned, you know, with people, you know, not keeping up with it, or, you know, it's, you know, they can't get a copy of it, or they can't see, you know. I thought we had a good thing going with the annual update, but, I mean, I'm not going to be the guy who won't change at all, okay? So, I mean, I'm happy to see, you know, the changes, you know, in the model release, but, you know, how do you get that? The other thing, too, is I really enjoyed it when they had Master Season. You know, it's like the cock came out, and then, you know, then you started using it for the new Master Season. You know, it was kind of lined up. You know, it was kind of like, I always compared it to golf. So, you know, you had a new golf season, and everything worked out. You had the Masters, and then kaboosh, the cock would come out, and, you know, all the tournaments lined up to it. So that was kind of nice. But, you know, with the changes, you know, if everybody can handle that and the community's good with it, I guess I'm okay with it. But I'd prefer the annual update myself.
It's good to have different points of view. I think it's just the way they disseminate information, I think, can be improved a little bit. I think it'll be interesting to see how it improves for next year when the Trident Realms will get an update, and the Abyssals and the Mystery Army, which we still do not know. So that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I've seen some interesting speculation on the Mystery Army. So, you know, Herd was strong, and then they, some people have put in some convincing arguments for some other armies out there. So, so we shall see. We shall see.
Yes, I think the only thing that we managed to wring out of Ronnie was that Magic doesn't make plastic kits for that army yet. So that's a good clue. So take it as it will. So yeah, thanks Mark. Anything else to add?
Oh, that's it. But we'll be back at you folks here soon enough with yet another MUP short, and we're going to post this up in the Facebook group. If you got any comments or anything like that, feel free to share, and we'll be happy to continue the conversation. So very, very cool. All right. Sounds good, everyone, and until next time.